Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally L. Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate Radio. I would like to start with a quote by Dr. Vera Scheibner, and it is this: having measles not only results in a lifelong solid immunity to measles, but also to cancer, asthma, and allergies. Vera Scheibner, PhD. Well, this was from a quote from a speech I gave to the Department of Health and Human Services National Vaccine Advisory Committee. You can imagine our government being in bed with the pharmaceutical industry, how pleased they were not to hear that. But the entire speech was very important, and at the end of it, I called for a moratorium. Imagine if liability-free for vaccines. That's a big payday for pharma, is it not? And imagine if they didn't have cancer, asthma, and allergies to also profit from. And that's what measles provides, you know? So there's so many things I must talk to you about today. I'm going to go at warp speed because my phone keeps decharging rather fast. So I went on March 5th to the hearing at the Senate in Washington, D.C. A lot of people who I knew were there, and it was really great to be among like-minded folk. But very few of us got into the hearing while a couple of rows were reserved for the pharmaceutical industry. Now, when I arrived, there was somebody at the elevator who recognized me. I could tell by his pop-eyed expression upon seeing me. However, this was not one of my friends. This is one of the people who was then sitting in the seats reserved for pharma. So it's nice to know that they know me. And later, when I went to visit Representative Posey, a woman stopped dead in her tracks, mouth agape to see me. So that was kind of unusual, especially since my television show only airs in New York City, where people there give me high fives, okay? Because you can tell the truth, and especially on television. If I may give a show I produce in a hurry a 3 out of 10, but when you see it on television, it's like a 14. You know, it's so startling to hear the truth on TV. We are so accustomed to being lied to, and I have a lot to say about that. But what I would like to say is everything that is transpiring is leading towards forced adult vaccination. Now, when I went to the Department of Health and Human Services in 2016, they were having. And even though they did say one thing about children, that they would intend to chip all children, they said it 3 times with an emphasis on the word all, okay? But the really amazing thing they said is that the intention was to force vaccinate adults using the Department of Homeland Security if necessary. Well, the hearing in the Senate, there's so much I have to say leading up to that that is so relevant, but I will instead say this. In terms of adult vaccination, I got a call when I got home from D.C. from my friend, artist Joe Jones, who does all my banners, and you can find him on Facebook at Airmail Greetings from Artist Joe Jones. And he is well-renowned for his World War II artistry of airplanes and has artwork in the air and did not have time to visit while I was there. I really wanted to see his artwork, hanging in a museum. But nonetheless, he gave me a call and he said that a friend of his in her 70s had just gone through open heart surgery, and she was supposed to go back to visit the doctor to have a pulmonary exam as follow-up to this open heart surgery, and was told, don't bother coming in unless you've had a measles vaccine. That's a surprise. When have you ever heard anything like that? Then I got an email from Virginia Young, forwarded a statement from Lowell Hubs, and I have to paraphrase, I don't remember the exact wording for sure, but the statement was this, that a man whose tail light was out, I guess was escorted to the police station, and when he got there, they checked his name and records, which is why they want to track your vaccination records, and he's there in regard to a taillight. And they check his vaccination records and said that he's not up to date on his vaccines and that he is required to get 3 shots. And then 2 large men came in to administer it. And it told him if he resisted, they would tie him down and administer it. They gave him 3 shots, and I believe one of them was a multi-dose shot. So he could have had as many as 5 vaccines. If 2 of them were multi-dose, he could have had as many as 7. But the fact of the matter is, he was there for a taillight, you know? And this turned into a forced vaccination scenario. How remarkable is that? Also, I heard from Sheila Ely that, Yes, protesters who were arrested were vaccinated. I don't know what they were vaccinated with, but just to know that that is now part of some kind of a protocol for either people with taillights broken, them after surgery. So wake up, you know, all the adults who sat on the sidelines while our children were attacked with these vaccines and said nothing. It's your turn. You know, it's my turn too, but I, Lord knows, have spoken loudly. All right. So thank you to everyone else who has spoken loudly up until this point, because our time is here. The adults' time has arrived. You don't have to wait for anything. So now there's censorship, everybody knows, on Facebook. And Adam Schiff has written a letter to Mark Zuckerberg telling him to silence people who are speaking truth about vaccines. I don't know what he calls us, but, you know, silence stories that don't fit with our narrative, which is safe and effective. And so he wrote this letter, and this kind of all came about the same time as these hearings. So this is a coordinated effort. And Representative Posey, God bless his soul, wrote another letter to Facebook, and I'm sure it's received a lot less press if they're even allowing it to be shown on Facebook, saying you cannot suppress. Let me read the title of it and then a quote from it. Let me get my glasses. Just give me a second, will you? I don't have a link for this, but Kathleen does, so I will put this underneath the radio program in the comments area. Pardon me. It's from the Congress of the United States, House of Representatives, Washington, D.C., March 4th, to Mark Zuckerberg, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, Facebook, Inc. Here's the subject. If vaccines do not cause injuries, why has the Vaccine Injury Trust, a trust fund, paid out $4,061,322,557.08 for vaccine injuries? I'm going to go down in the letter and say a media report suggests that Facebook is considering limiting the free speech of Americans who present safety concerns about vaccinations online, including on Facebook and within Facebook groups. I have some questions about this matter and would also like to provide some facts regarding blatantly false information you received in a February 14th letter enclosed. from my colleague, Representative Adam Schiff. The letter states, quote unquote, "There is no evidence to suggest that vaccines cause life-threatening or disabling diseases. The Institute of Medicine, the Centers for now this is Bill continuing on after that. The Institute of Medicine, the Centers for Disease Control, and manufacturers all acknowledge that vaccines can cause harm to infants, children, and adults." And someone's trying to call me. Okay, the vaccine injury table listing a wide range of more than 50 adverse reactions for recommended / mandated vaccines is all available at hrsa.gov, and he gives a very long link. So I will put this information also in the comment area, and it says, "I have serious concerns that Facebook, based on false statements and similar ill-informed assertions, may initiate limits on the free speech of Americans who enjoy the community sharing of information and ideas online through Facebook." Well, you know, thank you, Bill, Representative Posey, for speaking out on our behalf, and certainly on behalf of the parents of these vaccine-injured or deceased children. Now, let me tell you how I've been experiencing censorship on Facebook. First of all, I may hold the record for being shut out of Facebook, but my friend Jack Colton, who is a tremendous contributor of information, when he went to get back in, they show you pictures of your friends and you have to identify them. So if you have thousands of friends, that's not easy. However, they were actually showing me pictures of friends. Jack Colton, on the other hand, they showed him pictures of his friend's children. So he never got back in. He's like, "I can't identify my friend's children." So that is just, you know, it was effective. Let's put it that way. He was unable to share and get back into Facebook. So he moved on, glad to say, but I personally miss him. Anyway, let us get back to this. I just got a call from Sara E. Flores. No doubt what she has to say should be included in this show as well. I wish she called earlier, because people do call me with important information, and I'll probably find out after the show. So anyway, so I'm telling you about these remarkable adult assaults. And I want to report to you what it is that I brought to Representative Bill Posey. And here it is. First of all, when I got there, I'm not sure if I was early or not, because my appointment was 3:30 or 4, and I'm not sure, I wasn't sure which one, so I went for the 3:30, you know. And I got there, and I met with George Sakala, who is just a lovely gentleman who facilitated this and facilitated my intro for Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. And I'm so grateful to him for that. And also with Stuart Burns, who I met back in 2013 when I was asking Congress to sponsor my bill, Ban Vaccines 2013. And part of that was a vaccinated versus unvaccinated survey from Germany, which is well known among people who are alert nation information. But for those who are not, what it showed is that there was a 2 to 5 time increase in or that the vaccinated children had 2 to 5 times the chronic illness of the unvaccinated. And then I certainly helped him promote the bill for a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study. But that was, you know, the second time he sponsored it, he sponsored it by himself. And I will address that later, okay, in this conversation. However, so I sat down with Stuart and with George, and he said, "Well, Representative Posey is ill today, so he's not coming in." And I said, "That's okay. We have plenty of work to do." Like, it didn't faze me at all, even though I was dying to shake the man's hand and thank him personally, you know. Nonetheless, I was thrilled to have Stuart's ear in particular. He worked for 14 years under Weldon and is the most knowledgeable person I've ever met in a congressperson's office, you know. So anyway, we reviewed a great number of things. Representative Posey then came in and greeted me, and I gave him the big bullet points, because what I did was I sat down and just off the top of my head, you know, I do this 19 hours a day, as many of the listeners do as well, I think he might not know, because certainly Stuart knows apparently everything, you know, and has for many years. But, you know, with the latest, the biggest, the most bombastic things, and I talk to a lot of researchers and scientists, and they don't publish everything, you know. So if I'm not interviewing them, I wouldn't know all this. And, of course, my friends on Facebook who are so knowledgeable out of necessity. I would pit an autism mother against a hospital of doctors any day of the week for knowledge about vaccines. So any autism mother, any hospital, you know. Pardon me, please. Okay, so... first, I will tell you what it is. When Representative Posey came in, and he came, I guess, about an hour into the meeting, and as I say, I was there early, he said, I have a car waiting outside. So I said, well, I thank you so much for getting this, the information that you put in the letter, which I just read to everyone, or I read you a highlight from it. He also had the schedule of injuries that they, the Vaccine Injury Compensation Board pays for. So he had that in that letter as well, you know, illustrating on every level injury is for real. And this is how much they paid out, and this is what they pay out for. So please don't say, Adam Schiff, that, you know, that this, that vaccines are safe and effective, safe and effective. Okay. So, the first thing I said to him when he sat down was I thanked him profusely for writing to Facebook and for giving that letter, a portion of which I just read, to Rand Paul prior to the Senate hearing. Now, I was trying to get different information to him, which was very relevant regarding one of the people who was testifying that day. And in terms of testifying, in terms of senators' statements, I have to just deviate for a second and say this. I listened to a couple of the senators' opening statements, and I listened to one testifier in particular, but I just want to say there's an act called the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, which is in the NDAA 2013 bill. And it might have been approved in 2012, and whatever. And I found out about this after the bill was passed. And I, you know, I have my ear to the ground. I really do look for bills that would compromise our public interest in ourselves. And certainly this was one, but it was snuck into the NDAA and absolutely nobody knew about it. And this woman from England did a report about the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, which undoes the original Smith-Mundt Act, which and another act, which says that you cannot lie to the public, you know, the American public. And then this act says you can propagandize, and you can use every tool of media available to you. So whether this hearing was on C-SPAN, that's one outlet, whether it is printed up, whether, you know, social media, any form of media they can use to propagandize, which is lying to the public, the American public. So this was so disturbing, because I thought, I object to this in terms of vaccination, but anyone, no matter what your issue, I don't care what your issue is, to know that our government can lie to us because they passed a law allowing themselves to and snuck it in a bill that they knew would pass, the NDAA. When has the NDAA not been funded, I ask you? Never. So, and then I had to find out from a woman from abroad. Well, there is a very good article about this act, which I will put, as well as that video, in the comments area underneath this radio program. And the article is from Occupy Corporatism. They wrote about it, and I'm not quite sure when, but anyway. All right, so this is an amazing thing that affects everybody always. Now, getting back to what I was speaking, oh yes, so the Senate and is questioning the people, all of whom represent the interests of money, moneyed interests, okay? And or one young man was being used to foster moneyed interests. And I thought at the time, listening to the very verbose opening statements of the two senators I heard, I thought we should swear them in, not just the people testifying, but the senators themselves, because these were nuanced statements. I mean, you really had to know the product and how you want your product perceived to make these statements. So they were written for them. These were not statements that I could discern of the two I heard. I can't say everybody, but I can say the two I heard. They were long, and they were written to the benefit of the pharmaceutical companies. And so I just thought, I don't know that the people testifying were sworn in, and I wish they were, and I don't know that the senators were or ever have, but I'd like that too. Considering they're allowed to propagandize, I think it's high time that everybody was sworn in. Certainly, I went with a letter from Dr. Rebecca Carley, which she would be happy to testify and swear that she is telling the truth. And my reading her words, which I had hoped to, I would have testified and sworn that I am telling the truth. So we should expect as much from the people who did have the opportunity, and because of the Smith-Munt Modernization Act, I would like the senators themselves to testify. So so now, something huge came out the night before the hearing, and it was reported by Jamie Cosenza on Sherry Saunders' show, United Voices, on Blog Talk Radio. So if you look at United Voices on blogtalkradio.com, you will see Sherry Saunders' show, and it's a March 4th show. And I will put that underneath the in the comments area as well. And this couldn't be more relevant, because I had asked Jamie, would she kindly look into the people who were allowed to testify, and so I knew if there was anybody on our side, you know, who didn't represent big money. And so in investigating that, she found something just absolutely huge. And here it is. A woman who was not testifying but has worked in conjunction with one of the men who was, a man by the name of Omer. I don't know if it's his first or last name, but Omer. I believe they pronounced it Omer, but it's spelled Omer. And his specialty is how to remove exemptions, and that's what he writes about. So this woman who has worked in conjunction with him, her name is Kathleen, with a K, Harriman. Now, on the link I'm going to put in the comments area where Jamie explains this explicitly, she misstated her name as Harrison, but it is in fact Harriman. And that's a name you should investigate as well. So the last name Harriman. Okay, so she said that this woman had a grant from the National Institute for Health, and she wrote a piece with, you know, she wrote, someone got this grant. She was part of their team. So there were six people on the team. And basically they prescribed, in advance of the Disneyland measles outbreak and scare, at the happiest place on earth, this was written. There will be an outbreak at Disneyland, or there should be an outbreak, or how to proceed would be to have an outbreak at Disneyland, and it would garner a lot of attention at happening at the happiest place on earth, and that they can blame the unvaccinated for the outbreak, which will then be used to remove philosophical exemptions in California. Pan's bill, SB 277. Now, I just want to say, when Pan's bill passed, within a year after its enactment, there was a 17% rise in autism. I read an article that said that. But even before this, this was written, and as I see, NIH, National Institute for Health, there was an ACIP vote. They approve vaccines to add a second MMR to the schedule. Okay, so there were no safety studies, but it was added to the schedule. This report was made on having an outbreak at Disneyland, blaming it on the anti-vaxxers, and then removing exemptions, that plan. And then the measles outbreak occurred at Disneyland, and certainly was picked up by the media in a big, huge way. Everybody reported on it. And then SB 277 to remove exemptions passed, basically, in that order. And between the bill passing and the measles outbreak, this same exact study was used in an article by Kathleen Harriman, and it was called It's a Small World After All. So it wasn't published until afterwards. And I understand that there were conflicts of interest had to be stated. She is a member of the ACIP, which votes on increasing vaccination or adding vaccines to the schedule, as the MMR was. And she is with the California Health Department. So there's more to it, and I'm going to put this interview of Jamie with Sherry underneath the screen, but this information couldn't be more timely. It couldn't be more relevant than it is now, as they are taking the same agenda as by creating a measles scare and having hearings depriving people the ability to resist, this is for a national. This is a national call to force the states or encourage the states or demand the states up the ante in terms of vaccine compliance. What people weren't really looking at is that this was not particular to children. This is really, at this point, this is aimed at adults. And I opened the radio show to illustrate that three different ways in which it's already playing out. There's no bill that's been passed, but it's already playing out, is it not? So anyway, so that was a huge issue. I had brought that to his attention in the hope that he could bring that to Rand Paul's attention before the meeting, but I couldn't be more appreciative of what he did give him prior. Now, so that all that is couldn't be a bigger story, and I really hope that it's a game changer. And I hope everyone who's hearing it will report on just this one issue, the premeditated measles outbreak to lead towards removal of exemption. Now they're moving it on a national level to prevail upon the states, and it's applying to adults. Now, another thing, I just had it in my mind. I'm kind of on overload. Please excuse me. Oh, well, maybe it'll come to me later. Okay. So another thing I brought to Congressman Posey's attention was Corvelva, or Vaccine Gate. Corvelva being the chemistry, the chemists who tested the vaccines to find out their components. And what they found out is there's nothing to build antibodies against. This is all important because it destroys the premise of vaccination. Why are we being vaccinated if there's no measles in the measles vaccine? If there's no chickenpox in the chickenpox vaccine, how are we being infected, building antibodies, and then we are protected when the big measles or chickenpox hits, right? What they don't tell you is about measles is what I quoted at the beginning. They protect you from, give lifelong protection from measles, unlike the one injected in you, where you need a booster shot because the vaccine doesn't work. And if you have chickenpox naturally acquired as a child, then you are protected from shingles in later life. None of these things behoove the medical industrial complex. So, you know, the whole thing is a lie, but to find that the premise is completely debunked in this is remarkable. Now, what they found also were cross-contaminants that could not be identified and elements that are not even on the chart of elements, just poison, as we all know. These, or at least the CDC lists on their excipients table, it includes formaldehyde and MSG and aluminum, mercury, E. coli in the new meningitis vaccine, potassium chloride. Okay, potassium chloride is stops the heart, and there was a recent report by the Children's Health Defense, which says that infants are dying from cardiac arrest. Well, potassium chloride is in 8 vaccines. I don't have the roster to read to you right here, but believe me, it's in at least one of the ones they're giving 33 doses to infants. And I'm sure it's in more than one, but regardless, so if their child has trouble breathing, which NICU nurses have been stating they do, and certainly Vera Scheibner's breathing monitor proved that post-vaccination children were having trouble breathing, and this is when all those cases of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, which are really vaccine-induced death syndrome, are occurring. So that's an immense issue, the potassium chloride in the vaccines. But as I say, recently discovered through testing that there was glyphosate, which is a weed killer, Roundup, found in the 5 vaccines they tested, and multiple times as much in the MMR, which Dr. Stephanie Seneff was deducing that this was driving the rate of autism to increase. And also, antifreeze. There's a scientific name for antifreeze, but that's what it is. It's what you put in your car. And I could go on. But anyway, I'm going to stop there. and say instead the last thing that I brought up to Representative Posey. I mean, he knows the ingredients. I don't have to tell him that, so I didn't belabor that with him. And but was the 1986 liability. I had a conversation online outside the Senate with everybody. I asked all of them, please run for the vaccine-free party. I don't care what, you know, what you can run for the assembly or for mayor or for any post you want. But whoever gets the vaccine-free party on the ballot, you don't even have to win. If you get enough signatures to get it on the ballot, I will send you a dozen cheesecakes. If I get on the ballot, you send me a dozen cobblers if you're from Georgia. So, you know, and this is a way of competing, not just with the people you're competing with for office, but to bring attention to the possibility of a vaccine-free world. You got to start in the place that you live. And I say, let's compete. So everybody I have a picture of that I took a picture of at the event, I also asked to compete with me to be the first to get vaccine-free on the ballot where they live. So anyway, and I have to tell you, when I was running for mayor, someone had said to me, please run for the Health Freedom Party. So I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make up petitions for both. Let's see how it works. I got 800 signatures for vaccine-free, and I got 40 for health freedom. So, you know, and the response in regard to vaccine-free was, are you really? Are you serious? Like, people in their young 20s were ecstatic at the thought of it. This has got legs. If I could just get people to help me get signatures, we could really move this, you know? So it's possible. Don't throw that out. Don't throw that idea out. So anyway, yes, 1986 law. In fact, whether we ban vaccines, which I certainly would love, or not, if you just overturned the 1986 remove liability from the, you know, reinstate liability for the drug manufacturers and the doctors, all this madness would end tomorrow. Just would end tomorrow. And so this is something I brought up with him when I had the good fortune to interview Bill Posey. But what John Gilmore said to me online, because I said to, you know, Representative Posey, I've signed 13 petitions. And each of them had 200,000 to over 2 million signatures. And if you've ever tried to drive a petition, you'll realize that is not easy. You know, 800 signatures or 2,000 signatures is impressive. 200,000 to 2 million? And I've signed 13 of them with that kind of numbers? I said, you will get the support from the people. Believe me, you'll get it from the people. But John explained to me why. He said, people who are pro-vaccine want to know that whatever you're giving to their child, they can sue you for if anything happens to their child. Even people who want vaccines want to know that they have recourse if something is to happen to their child. So there you go. That explains the overwhelming number of signatures on these 13 petitions I've signed. And by the way, petitions don't work. They just don't. I would love to say they do, but not just in this realm and in other realms too. Just like nobody listens. And that's, you know, the problem is that nobody listens. So put your body on the line. Always show up, because if they see you with their eyes can't deceive them, you know? So whether you sign something or not, go with your body. Show up in person. So those are the issues I brought up to him. And he didn't say no. He said no when I interviewed him, but he didn't say no this time, because I just said, you know, will you please sponsor a bill? I will just leave it here. I didn't want to hear it. No, maybe that's why I didn't say it. Anyway, so then he and I got up and took a picture together with the great big banner that says Fantastic Forum, Superheroine Mothers of Vaccine Injured Children Testify to Save Humanity, which is 2 hours worth of television shows that airs regularly in New York City. And that starts with the interview with him and moves on to the mothers who in fact testify. And those are two extremely worthy productions. So anyway, then, and who spoke in them was myself, Steph Maharis, not Eileen. Oh, I am blanking on this lady's name. Oh dear. Anyway, Christian Palma, Kathleen Whalen Ferris, yes, and Carolyn Simpson, and Dan Shapiro. So we had a lot of people speaking, and they had a lot to say. So those are 2 hours worth of terrific testimony. And so now let us move on. So the other issues I covered with Stuart and with George, because he was, as I say, Representative Posey was sick. He made a special trip just to come in and shake my hand. There were other meetings, with other people, and he didn't stop by and even say hello to them. He just came right in, shook my hand. We sat down. I thanked him for his letter to Mark Zuckerberg and for giving it to Rand Paul, and made those large issues for him. But these are the ones I covered with his staff. Okay, infant mortality as of 2010 per Dr. Vera Scheibner, author of Vaccination 100 Years of Orthodox Research, which, by the way, you can't find on Amazon anymore. Thank you very much for censoring us. She says, conservatively, infant mortality is between 10 to 12%. Okay? And I gave him her contact, and I'm giving it to you, vera.scheibner@gmail.com. Okay? And but it's really more like 15%. She is going way conservative to say 10 to 12% of our infants are dying. Isn't this appalling? Isn't this appalling? So she explains it and in an interview that I've done with her, and I will post that in the comments area beneath, and I have to send it to Posey's office as well. And then I reviewed something that I heard from Greg Wyatt of ourvaccinesafe.org. And, of course, I gave him all of the places from which I got this information because, you know, it's important to reference things, isn't it? Look at HRIS 327. We did we'll get to that later. Okay. Yeah, it's important to reference things. Okay. So I referred to an interview that Greg Wyatt had done with a nursing student who said that 4 nurses in her class were pregnant and all of them were required to take the recommended CDC schedule for pregnant women, which, by the way, there are no safety studies in regard to. I'll just throw that in, okay? And all 4 of them were required to stay in school to take the 4 doses. So 4 of them took the 4 doses, and 3 of them miscarried. I said 75% miscarriage. There are no statistics on it, so you're just going to have to take this nurse's word for it, right? This is where we have to get our information, because nothing is more closely guarded than infant mortality statistics. Okay. So next issue, and I really went after informing them of things that they would not readily get elsewhere, because I met that morning with Sally Fallon of the Weston Price Foundation, and she gave me her pamphlets, and the one pertaining to vaccines I gave to Representative Posey. I gave him a copy of the speech that Dr. Carly had hoped I could deliver on her, from her. And of course, I asked her for it. You know, I said, I don't know how this hearing is going down. I don't know if we're going to be able to talk. But if I do get to talk, I want to represent you, because she reverses vaccine-induced diseases, has for 20 years, has reversed thousands of cases. And her own son was autistic, which is what brought her attention to the fallacy of vaccines are safe and effective. Okay. So what else did we speak about? Okay. Well, I brought to his attention the potassium chloride in the vaccines, which Janice Hicks had brought, she's a registered nurse, had brought to Carly and my attention. And then I cited an article recently written about infants suffering from cardiac arrest, referencing Dr. Scheibner's breathing monitor, et cetera. I've already discussed that. Then we moved on to, there is no case of shaken baby syndrome in an unvaccinated child, per Christina England, journalist and author of Vaccination Policy and the UK Government, The Untold Truth, along with Dr. Lucia Tomiljanovic. And then I gave him Miss England's website, Parents and Carers Against Injustice.weebly.com. Okay. And then what else did I bring up to them? See, all of these things they couldn't know. I know them because I interview everybody. I have a different, my ears to the ground. I'm seeking specific information, and I'm real interested in not just vaccines, but all the many horrors that continue from vaccines, which I just threw out before I left. It wasn't on this list, but I just wanted to alert him. Anyway, so now. Oh, okay. I said to him, I want you to hear of two extreme cases, but which also might be typical. I have 10 members of my family either dead or injured from vaccination. So that's a lot in one family. The most recent is the only one not in my immediate family, and I want to say what it is. It's in my family, just not my immediate family. I had warned the mother of a young girl after my daughter was injured from the Gardasil vaccine. And she slept for 3 days. And I, you know, after being administered it, being told it was one of the required ones when it certainly was not, having been lied to by my trusted family physician, which so many people can relate to, I didn't know what to do. I thought, oh my God, I was lied to get this into her. Who do I turn to? So I turned to God, and I prayed for 3 days while she slept, and she actually got up. And, you know, I'm sure there's a law against not turning back to the allopath who injured her. I know they're trying to create such a law in Canada right now. That's another discussion, but an important one. So I prayed, and she did get up. She was never the same, but she did get up. So I warned everyone I knew who had daughters who were getting to the age where they might be. I warned everybody, but especially went out of my way to visit, sit eye to eye with people who had young daughters. And certainly a relative would be one of those such people, right? So I warned her about the Gardasil vaccine and gave personal testimony about what happened to my own daughter. And at the time, I didn't know everything, but I did know from firsthand experience that my daughter almost died. You know, what better testimony is that? And I've heard from Norma Erickson of SaneVax, not only do children fall asleep, I had to literally carry my daughter across 8 lanes of Queens Boulevard to get to a cab, but they often fall asleep while driving home and kill themselves and whomever they hit. But she also said she knows of cases where girls have died with the vaccine in their arm. Okay? That's as, you know, severe. And I've done so many interviews with Gardasil girls and their mothers. That I really beseech you to visit, and I'll put this in the comments area, tinyurl.com/legacyHPV. LegacyHPV. Okay? So you'll hear not all the interviews, but I have them broken down by one shot and the reactions, two shot reactions, three shot reactions. And my daughter, who only got one shot, who you know, thank God I put it together, because people who've had the reaction my daughter has, who have gone back, their daughters have died. So thank God. And if she hadn't lied to me, I might not have put it together. Had she not lied to me, I thought, you know, made me question everything. Why would a doctor be lying to me, you know? So anyway, so please look at that for the reactions from one shot, two shots, and three shots, because that's how I have broken it down. Endless information. I have deterred, I don't know how many people, from allowing their children to receive that vaccine, but I could not deter my relative, okay? And so she received it, and now she today is at a cancer hospital for cervical cancer. Now, mind you, a report was presented to the FDA back in, I don't know, 2010 or 2012, and it showed that cervical cancer only appeared in people in their middle ages and older. But since the advent of the Gardasil vaccine, it was appearing in girls who were teenagers. And at the time, it wasn't being given to 11-year-olds. It was being given to teenagers. So all of a sudden, since the advent of Gardasil, cervical cancer is appearing in teenagers? That's weird, except that, of course, as Sheila Ely says, it was causing it. Well, the intention is to give the diseases they claim to prevent. And let me just say that vaccination policy and the UK government, you know, the second half by Lucia Tomiljanovic addresses that. She addresses so many things, that safety studies are prevented, that they know these vaccines are harming children, and in this case, that they are creating the diseases they claim to prevent. So now, let's see what else. Yeah, then I told her about, so this is the horror that I am still living through, you know, with the latest member of my family. I'm just so grief-stricken over this. Anyway, so let's see if I've forgotten to tell you anything. We covered that. Pardon me, my notes got out of order, so I have to make sure I haven't left anything. I'm missing page 4. Oh, that's not good. Where did page 4 go? Well, now I don't know what else I told him. Okay, well, I remember bringing up Margie Schaefer and talking about, like, the demise of one child. So I said, now you've heard of a lot of demise in one family. Now Margie is a lot of demise in one child, progressing from vaccines to vaccines. So his childhood shots resulted in ADD. A varicella shot resulted in diabetes. A hepatitis B shot resulted in leukemia. And then the child died in his teens. I believe he was 16. And so that, you know, I said, so it's important for you to know kind of her story too, because it's going to be probably other people's stories as well. Now, Kathleen Saravalli brought something up, and she said, well, the MMR causes vaccines, causes diabetes also because it contains fructose. I said, okay, well, that's, you know, thank you very much for that. And I wrote to Margie, and she wrote back to me, but she discerned what vaccines were causing what outcomes using the help of Neil Z. Miller's book, the name of which I do not have in front of me, but I'm sure it's not hard. Oh, I'm sure it is very hard to find now because you can go to Amazon. Let me tell you, when I was looking for Vera's book, I typed in Vera Scheibner, PhD, and, you know, what books has she written? Nothing came up. I think Bubble Bath came up. I was like, Bubble Bath? And then I typed in the word vaccination because that's the proper title of the book, just vaccination. And again, things that were irrelevant to vaccination or Vera Scheibner. So finally, knowing the full title of the book, Vera Scheibner, Vaccination, 100 Years of Orthodox Research, then and only then did the book come up. So they are censoring it big time. I understand they're censoring Etsy. They don't want you to buy T-shirts that have information about vaccines. You know, you can get them through me, but I also recommend highly that you get them through Truth Train. They have come out with one that if I could read you what it said, it's not in front of me. I had intended to bring it to Washington. It's a great shirt, and it rhymes, and it could not be more clearly stated. The whole scenario on one T-shirt, and it's not in tiny print. So I would recommend you look at Truth Train, the group, or contact Todd Wilkie, or Joseph Sikora, and they have many T-shirts, and Todd makes them himself. So don't rely on the big corporations. Go directly to the source, and as one man said, with all the censorship, all we have left is T-shirts. So if that's what we have left, step it up. Get your T-shirts. Now what else? So as I say, I'm missing page 4 of the information. But all of the information I gave him is what he could not find elsewhere. And then I added wonderful facts from the Weston Price Foundation with the graphic of that little baby with all the needles coming at it and all the many of the diseases, certainly not all of them, that would be impossible, but many of the diseases vaccines create from the Vaccine Liberation Army. And that was on it. But I'm going to play you, I wish I could play it for you now, maybe I can, Rebecca Carly's letter to the Senate, which I also gave to Representative Posey and his staff. So a marvelous meeting. I have a beautiful picture, which I hope to upload to this radio show, as well as Vera Scheibner's quote that I read at the top of the show, because everybody needs to really bring that to light. I'm thinking of, if I make a TV show out of it, naming it Measles Prevents Cancers. That's a good name for this show, Measles Prevents Cancers, right? Anyway, I'm going to look now for the interview with Dr. Carly so you can hear her letter, the one that she had hoped I would read at the Senate. Hold on. It's going to take me a little while. I have to sign in. Then I have to find the interview. Well, you know what? I'm just going to put it in the comments area because I don't have my regular setup and everything is 10 times as difficult. But it's a humdinger. You know, she's been calling vaccination weapons of mass destruction for years now. She was the first to say it. She continues to say it. We are of a mind. And let me just say that I saw something written at the TV station. She used to have a radio show called What's Ailing America, and before that she had a television show on local public access television, which is where I air my things, called What's Ailing America Too. Well, let me tell you, of recent, and isn't it interesting that this has happened just recently as well regarding censorship, I got a letter not from the stations themselves. I don't even know if the stations realize this, but from a fellow producer who it was forwarded from Ingrid Castle of vaclib.org, And I wish I had brought a link that she had sent with me, but I couldn't remember everything. Lord knows I tried. But I haven't even had a chance to open the link, but I figured if she's sending it to me before I go to Washington, it's so that I bring it with me. Not to say I will not forward it, because I have to forward many things. And let me just say, my, what do you call that? Not browser. It's what keeps your, I don't know what it's called, but it burned out on my computer. I don't know the name of it, but it makes my computer unusable. Okay. So when I got home, I was greeted with a burned out, but anyway, yeah, a lot of people gave me a lot of information to share, because how it took me 6 years. You know, I met with his office in 2013, and it's 2019. So I honestly wasn't dying to rush back to Congress, because I had such a horrifying time getting there and leaving there that, you know, I wasn't really eager. I was hoping to meet him outside of the building. But everything went well this time. And since Trump has been elected, everything has gone well for me. Okay, here's the huge news. Here's the big payoff for listening as long as you have. And as I say, I will put Dr. Crawley's letter. If you want to reach her, if you have a child who's injured, 812-581-0530. Write that down, 812-581-0530. She can help reverse vaccine-induced diseases for yourself or your children or your pets. And I would entrust her to do that. Really entrust her, not like your trusted family physician. But anyway, so what else? Yes, here's the big news. I was listening to Sam Muggsy's show on YouTube, which will be on later this evening, but I will put, you know, I don't have my computer. The minute I can use my computer, I will put in the comments area beneath this show, as well as everything else, the March 6th Sam Muggsy Show, SAMMUGGZ as in zebra, I. And she has a show with Kent Dunn and Drake Bailey. And something that was revealed in the first half of the show, and by the way, they were talking about the Senate hearing, thrilled when radio shows like SGT Report, I don't know, you know, shows that talk about a lot of things, when they incorporate vaccines into what they're talking about, it is such a great, such a blessing. But anyway, so they talked about the hearing in the first half of the show. But at one, at, oh, Catherine Frumpovich wrote this article about, because they, you know, Gottfried of the FDA, who was also calling for mandates, everything's happening all at once, right? Everyone presumed that Trump fired him, you know, but we didn't know. But Sam Muggsy or Drake Bailey, one of the co-hosts, said, oh, it was Drake Bailey, said yes, he was fired. The FDA chair, Gottlieb, was fired. And but Catherine Frumpovich's article, the opening line was hilarious. And she was speculating on the many reasons he might have stepped down. He said he was spending more time with his family or something like that. But she wrote an article to speculate the many reasons he might have. And so I enjoyed that. But Drake Bailey said that he was fired by Trump. Okay. And this man seems to have insider information that, you know, pans out over time. So I do not disregard what he says. But what Sam Muggsy says on her own show, she happens to be a doctor. It's a woman, probably Samantha, right? At 1 minute, no, 1 hour and 11 minutes into the show, she said that Donald Trump signed an executive order, that would have been March 5th, because the show was uploaded March 6th, but it was taped March 5th, that Donald Trump signed an executive order, C-1-2, saying that no child can be required to take a vaccine. That's absolutely fabulous. I haven't, as I said, my computer's down. I can't look it up. Look up an executive order that he signed on March 5th. I don't think it was March 4th, the day before. I think he signed it the same day as the hearing, that no child can be required to take a vaccine. In fact, they're not going after the children right now. They are going hard after the adults. But I am still very grateful and cannot wait to get to my computer working to see this executive order with my own eyes. So that's really the big, big, big news. I just haven't had a chance to verify it. Okay. All right. So praise Posey, as always. Love this man. Got out of his sick bed to come and say hello to me. Couldn't have been more honored. Oh, wait. Oh, my gosh. Other big news. Well, first of all, March 16th, it's so hard for me to I know I'm going to leave some things out, and I really don't want to. But anyway, March 16th is the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and we may be marching with a group in the St. Patrick's Day Parade, the big one on Fifth Avenue. So contact me if that interests you. Secondly, we always carry our banners, vaccine-free NYC. So that's really, really huge. Then April 17th. I have to go back to the FCC. What is happening with the FCC concurrently that I heard through Ingrid Castle, who heard through a television producer? She knows I produce for Public Access too, and everyone should, while it still exists. I'm making the most waves on Public Access TV. I know because people in the streets know me from that, not from the internet. They know me from Public Access television, okay? So before they take it away, that the FCC is defunding public access. And this, you know, within a month of all these other forms of censorship. So if you don't know that vaccination is the big agenda, that it all comes down to a vaccine, I'm telling you, it all comes down to a vaccine. If your taillights broke, vaccinate them with five doses. If you protest, vaccinate them, arrest and vaccinate them. If you have a big operation and want to go for a follow-up exam, vaccinate her. That 70-year-old lady, vaccinate her. She won't be seen for a follow-up exam. So when I say they're coming after the adults, and I've already told you, they intend to force vaccinate, if necessary, to use the Department of Homeland Security as of 2016, I believed them when they said it. I've been telling everybody they did say it. And I even met a guy from Homeland Security. I said, is this the plan? And he said, yes. I said, well, I didn't actually need your confirmation. I heard it right out of the horse's mouth. Well, we hope to God that Donald Trump's influence will prevail, certainly if he has just signed an executive order to say no child is required to take a vaccine. Could that be more wonderful? I don't think so. So all I can say is know who your friends are and know who they're not. And is there anything else? Oh, yes. So April 17th, we are having in Manhattan in the evening, a Wednesday, more mothers testifying. It's Autism Awareness Month. And I'm saying if you are an autism mother, this may be your last opportunity to get the word out on television. And there are a few other places to get it out these days. And before they close, you know, going to show up one day, the door's going to be locked with no explanation. And, here's the unbelievably good news. I said to, Representative Posey, I thanked him again for allowing us to celebrate him for the month of October and, all of his brave, courageous work. And I said, but if there was someone else who was actively doing as you have been doing for years now, from 2012 onward, I would be celebrating that legislator, but I don't know any. So I thought maybe we could celebrate a brave journalist. And Cheryl Atkinson came to mind. Would you give her the award? And he said, yes. And so now I have to contact Cheryl Atkinson. So expect we will be celebrating her in October. Date not yet announced. And because my computer is down, I have not been able to contact her. So when I get everything up and running, we have plenty of time for that. I personally would like to be celebrating her in Autism Awareness Month because she's done so much in regard to the autism community, but it's too short notice, I believe, to pull it off. And Posey's already agreed to celebrate with us in October and give her an award for her courage. These are awards of courage, and she possesses it, as does Posey. As do it ain't easy. We get ridiculed, and we are disrespected. We are harassed, and worse. So this is a complete salute to all of us in the movement and trying to save mankind, you know? All right, cheerio for now. This is Sally Alcorti signing off. You are listening to Public Advocate Radio. And definitely check the comments within the week for all the follow-up links that I have promised you. Okay? Thank you very much.